Hey Grow Girls, you are listening to the Get Up and Grow Girl podcast, hosted by me, your multifaceted manifestation coach, Leela Jasmine Seeley. I have been on a journey from being addicted to the hustle, disconnected from my feminine energy, linking my worth to my productivity, and giving away all of my power to toxic relationships, to manifesting my dream soul-led business, my freedom island lifestyle, my dream partner, and honestly, so much more. So now it's my mission to help you heal and create your "is this freaking real" moments in life. This podcast will guide you on your journey to finding your light, healing your conditioning, and unlocking the power that resides within you. So let's dig in. Hey Grow Girls, so today's episode is from my new home in Tobago, peep the palm tree, and it is about how your inner child shows up in the manifestation process, because it's a lot more than you think. And we think that manifestation is so much about thinking forward to what we want. Joking that my headphones are not connected, which they're not. So we think that manifestation is so much about thinking forward and thinking about what we want and thinking about who we want to become, and it's always forward focused. But actually, we are always manifesting, usually from something that we think was so long ago, from our inner child, from our childhood, because that's when our paradigms are formed and our mindset is cemented and our ideas are cemented. So to put it in a nutshell, our inner child is behind the identities that create our current behaviors and our narratives. So by narratives, what I mean is the story of our lives. Hey people who are joining live, put a one in the chat if you relate and if you recognize your inner child showing up, put a two in the chat if you're like, no, I feel like it's not, and let's see if you agree by the end. So I'm gonna give some examples of how this works, and I'm going to use a lot of personal examples as it relates to this big manifestation that has just come in, and hopefully that will help you to unveil some blind spots and to see where you might be unconsciously experiencing this inner child coming up and affecting the things you say you want and you want to manifest them, but then there's some friction or some discourse or some misalignment between what you say you want and actually what is going on with this inner child in the manifestation process. So if you missed it, Kez and I just moved to Tobago. We are living here now in this beautiful resort. It's insane. I'm looking out, much better view than how I used to do my podcast. And we are like completely accommodation, food, everything covered, which is insane, which 5 weeks ago I could not have imagined or predicted, because 5 weeks ago I had a breakdown. I suddenly got really sad and I felt like my time in Trinidad, I feel like it's coming to an end. I don't feel right here anymore. I don't feel happy here anymore. I'm feeling boxed in. Like at first it was like, oh wow, we're in a new place, and like loads of drama happened if you've seen my last podcast episode, but it was like, wow, we're in a new place, and on the weekends we'd make sure to get out and explore. And it was more like being in, like, you know, you're not having a chance for the dust to settle yet. And once it did, I was like, I feel trapped. I feel like I'm stuck in a city house, like a city apartment in the center, far away from the sea, far away from the beach. It's boiling hot, but there's no nature around. I couldn't go out by myself and walk around. It wasn't that kind of place, and I was feeling trapped. And we visited Tobago for the first time, and I looked out over the sea and the beautiful, like, the breeze is different, the energy is different. It's a calmer place. This is the place for chilling. Trinidad is the hustle and bustle place. And I was just like, this is what I want. This is like what I could imagine. But I had no idea how it was gonna work. And now it has manifested, despite all of this, like manifesting in a way you wouldn't predict. Like I was not ready. I didn't have money to buy a house in Tobago or even afford to rent a place right on the beachfront like this. Like I was not there. So everything in my logical mind was saying, well, it's not possible yet, and I can't figure out how it would be possible. But that's exactly what manifestation is. It's making what feels like it can't happen actually be able to come to fruition. But on the way to manifesting this, and having been here now, being here now and living it, I'm like, wow, I can see so many ways that my inner child was getting in the way previously, and I've been able to overcome it. And I want you to do the same for your manifestations, because once you deal with this inner child and you recognize these narratives, these identities and these behaviors, and you shift them, the resistance dissipates and things you thought like you would not believe possible for you manifest. So one of these things, an example of how the inner child showed up in my manifestation process, was the good girl archetype. The good girl archetype, if you don't know about it, is a chronic people pleaser. Basically, we often grow up thinking that we need to be a good girl, and we get told, be a good girl, be quiet and be a good girl, be a good girl and go and give that person a hug, or do what this person says, or whatever. And so what the archetype can lead to is this chronic people pleaser, this person who bends oneself to fit into what other people want, and is always feeling like an inconvenience and always needs to, you know, make sure everyone else is okay and they feel like their presence is an inconvenience. And I definitely struggled with that. So let's talk about how this leads into the inner child and how this happens. Because the truth is, the good girl archetype, she's developed through childhood. She's developed when you are a child. I'm just looking this way because I have my laptop here with my notes, so I stay on track. So for me, growing up as a child, my dad was always so conscious of how we appeared, of external image, like how you present yourself physically, but also just like how it looks, what our actions would say about us, how people would perceive us. It was a very, very, very important thing at the forefront of all of my experiences when my dad was around. And I know now where this comes from. It's a survival means, and we're always worrying what other people think. It's survival. It's like, make sure that everyone else is good, and if we upset other people, like, that's a big problem. That's a survival mechanism. And I think it comes from, to be honest, some racism. And with my dad coming to the UK at a time when there was still quite a bit more racism, and he experienced a lot of it, it was important to fit in, please everyone, because if you piss people off, then that's when he would experience like racist attacks and things like that. So I know where it comes from. But we are constantly watching our parents as a child, and the things they tell us, the things they tell us to do, the way they act, we're constantly soaking it in into our unconscious mind. Whether we're not sitting there thinking, oh, dad said this, so the world must be this kind of place. We're not consciously thinking that, but we're absorbing it into our unconscious mind. Because as a child, we are just living in our unconscious mind. So my dad would always worry about how we appear, and it was always about appearances, and it was always about, make sure you're, you know, you stand in the right queue and you dress smart, and make sure you always say please and thank you. And of course these things can be good, but it became to a point where I always felt that, you know, I need to people please to the extent that if I'm like upset anyone, or I don't do something, I don't say please perfectly, or I move in the wrong way or something, then it would be, you know, something bad is going to happen. So that makes you hypervigilant. And my dad was always worried about like feeling like we belong and looking ungrateful. So he'd always be, you know, always make sure that you say, you kind of overemphasize thank you. So now I find if I go to get something from someone, like a plate, if I'm being served, and when they say, can I take it? I say, yes, thank you. Then they put their hand in it and say, thanks. Then they take it away and I'm like, thanks. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like a freaking parrot. Like, you don't need to probably say thanks this many times. Celeste, hey Celeste, she says, be over apologizing to the point that you're apologizing for your existence. This is literally what I'm, thank you so much for putting into those words, because this is what I'm trying to say, that you start to feel internally like you're a burden, right? Which is not good from a manifestation perspective. So I used to feel that when I was young, and I know that it came from my dad's own wounds, and he was just trying to protect us. Now I know that through inner child work. Didn't always feel that way. But it would influence his behavior to the point where he would avoid going to a fancy restaurant, and he hated going to like really fancy places. My mum loves it, but my dad really didn't like it, because I know he would feel out of place, and he would always make comments about like, oh, like you know, there's not any other brown people, or he would make comments about, like, you know, whether we were dressed smart enough, or whether we, you know, and how people might judge us because of our skin colour or whatever, and he would really worry about that. So it became something that I inherited, was feeling that, oh, my existence here could be upsetting people. Me being somewhere could be upsetting people. And when I say that consciously, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, why would I be upsetting someone? But it's a learned pattern of behaviour, is that you don't consciously assess why. You go into a room, dad gets anxious, he's like, careful, clean up yourself, and make sure you smile, and make sure you do this and that. And so you start feeling that when I walk into a room that is like this, a nice place, oh, I have to feel, I have to start analysing. And you just make the link between fancy place, feeling uncomfortable. Fancy place, not a nice feeling. And it becomes something that then you no longer want. And unconsciously, you're going to avoid that pain of feeling uncomfortable. So what this all leads to, ultimately, is me realising through this manifestation of living here now, living in a resort, where we are supported, like we have our accommodation, we're not paying for it, our food in the hotel, all not paying for it. Amazing, right? An incredible opportunity. But I would not have been able to do this. And I realized that yesterday as we were sitting and ordering food. And I just ordered whatever I wanted off the menu. In the past, I would not have done that. Even when I would go on dates and I know that the guy might be paying for me, I would literally like be that girl that would order something she doesn't even like, but it's the cheapest, so order that, because I, God forbid, I'd be an inconvenience to you. And so it becomes so apparent that you need to heal these wounds, because I know that consciously you want what you want. I know you want the money or the dream business or the soulmate or the abundant beach lifestyle. I know you want it, but unconsciously do you want it? Because when we associate, for example, being here and it being free, I know I can hear the voice of my dad in my head. My dad would be like, oh, we don't want them to think that we, you know, we don't have them, we can't afford it. We don't want them to think that we're, you know, greedy, and all these words. And my dad would usually like insist that we pay, or he wouldn't want to go somewhere that's free, because he would feel guilty and he would feel uncomfortable, and he'd rather go somewhere where he would pay, so we didn't have to feel those triggering wounds of not belonging, right? And that is what I noticed would have come up with me moving here. Last year I did so much deep inner child healing as it relates to receiving and being able to receive abundance, and that is why I don't think I experienced it here. Occasionally it's come to my mind, like, oh my God, should I be triggered now? Like, should this bother me? Should I feel like I don't belong? But I find myself walking around naturally. And so it's been such a moment of like, wow, look how far we've come. But I know that in the past, had Kez got this job offer, what I would have done was been like, firstly, when he was pitching his proposal, I'd have been like, oh, okay, so maybe you can like, you can stay there and I can come visit you every so often. And I would have probably just thought, oh, I better go home then. Like, I better go home. But I was like, oh, okay, so, you know, just instantly assume that, oh, if you're going to be here, then I'll be able to stay with you. And I don't feel an inconvenience, or I didn't think my presence would be an inconvenience. And that affected, you know, what he put forward as his proposal. And once he got the offer, I've been able to be like, great, yeah, I'm coming. Whereas in the past, I think I would have felt like, one, I don't feel I can be here the whole time. I have to, like, go back to our place in Trinidad, or I'll just visit you for a week at a time, week's holiday from the UK or something like that. Or two, I would actually have made it here and I would be here, but when we have breakfast and lunch and stuff, I know how old me would be and how my dad liked to do things, and I would be like, oh, I'm not gonna go and sit down and have like lunch where they bring you food, because I feel bad, I feel guilty, and I feel awkward and uncomfortable receiving. I feel I don't belong, was the narrative. And I would have probably done what my dad would kind of do sometimes as kids, which is like either get my mum to bring the food because he felt uncomfortable, or he might, like, you know, buy something from the supermarket, keep it in the house and eat there. And so I would block myself from those blessings, right, from that abundance. I know that sounds crazy, but when you, the more you elevate your consciousness, you become aware of these habits, these things that hide in the unconscious, the more you see it and you see how it works. So I would not be able to be here living the manifestation in a way that I feel good. I feel like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. This is amazing. Because my perception of it would be different. If every day I felt uncomfortable every time I ate a meal, if every day I felt uncomfortable walking around and going to the pool and walking down to the beach and going and sitting in the lounge, then this would be like being in a prison, a beautiful prison, but a prison, right? It's the freedom, it's the ability to get out and enjoy that makes it abundant, right? So healing those wounds was necessary to allow this to happen. And we think that things just happen magically, but actually, you know, there's an element of the universe that definitely getting involved, and the law of attraction and the law of vibration, but it's also your behavior, because your behavior determines the law of vibration. And it's also you being able to actually receive it. Everything can be set up, but then do you see it as something that is there for you to receive? Or do you see it as something where you have to go, you know, oh, I won't go out there, I won't go and get the food, I'll stay here, or whatever. Do you see it as something where you can't quite complete the manifestation? You can't quite live in that energy of actually, it feels good, it's abundant. Your inner child also portrays and creates your portrayal of what is good or bad in life. And we learn this as a child. Again, we inherit this. We absorb it from watching our caretakers, our families, our teachers. And I have a memory of Christmas time. And often at Christmas, you know, as kids, you get presents. I was lucky to have a kind of childhood where I would get presents and have a really nice Christmas. And I remember having a family member that would sort of ask us, oh, what do you want? What are you hoping to get today for Christmas before we'd open our presents? And I would say, oh, I want this, I want this doll, I want that, I want this special toy or whatever it is. And I'd be excited. And then she would say to us that, well, you know, like some kids, they don't even have like proper food today, and which of course was true. And there are people in the world that don't have. But by you feeling bad for what you do have, it's not helping those people. It's not helping anyone. And so what happened was I would then feel ashamed to receive. And I felt like, oh God, like me saying I want this toy and this toy for Christmas as a child, and then you've just made me realize that there are people who don't have anything. So now I feel shame. I feel shame at desire. I feel shame at wanting things. I feel shame for receiving. I feel shame for receiving gifts. And I feel like to receive abundance is bad, because it makes you selfish when there are people who don't have. And that was something that I had a narrative of throughout my whole recent years, to be honest, until recently. And how this would manifest would be, I wouldn't accept things. I wouldn't accept help. I wouldn't accept abundance. I remember going on dates when I was younger, and never would I, like, if someone said like, oh, I'll pay in the beginning, I'd be like, no, it's fine. And they'd be like, oh no, I want to. And I'd be like, I would insist to the point where in the end they'd be like, okay. And sometimes I'd even say, no, I'll pay for both of us. And I just couldn't receive. I felt that it was something shameful to receive. And that's something I perceived through something I was told as a child, again, with this story of Christmas. And so again, being here and receiving a nice place to stay, receiving nice dinners, that would be something I would feel ashamed of until recently. And I remember working through this real shame of receiving wound in 2021 was when I really started it. And it linked into receiving in the relationship I wanted. I wanted a relationship where I was treated really nicely and I received flowers and, you know, he took me out and things like that. And I wasn't actually able to receive that at the time I was first saying I wanted it. But healing this wound of receiving allowed me to have these things. Because it did feel like something to be ashamed of, and it's something that I wouldn't accept again. So I might not be willing to be here, and I'd say, oh, I feel uncomfortable, I feel better if we were in our own place, and I, you know, and sabotage ourselves out of having this amazing manifestation. Or two, I would have it but feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And what does guilt and shame do? It lowers your vibration. It's one of the biggest lowers, you know what I'm trying to say. It decreases your vibration. It sucks energy down from your vibration. Heavy emotions, low on the scale of vibration. and I would feel all that, and probably I wouldn't be here now, wouldn't be telling you about what has manifested. I'd probably be trying to hide it, I'd probably be embarrassed, I wouldn't have shared it on my Instagram. But then how can I teach the work that I do if I'm not willing to show, oh look, this is what manifested and this is how I did it and this is how I can help you? Then it would affect my business prospects too, and it would affect me being able to run this business and do what I want and work with Soul Aligned clients. If I'm so busy hiding and I'm scared to share what's manifested because I'm scared of being seen as greedy or selfish, because I'm scared of being judged, because I feel shame for receiving, then how can I share that message and how can I empower others? And how can I manifest business growth and success and all the things that I also want? So now I realize that me sharing this and me feeling quite neutral about it, I was like, whoa. Like, I had a moment of realizing that this is not how it would have always been and realizing how far I've come. But I also think it's not a coincidence that this didn't happen until now, and that for years I've been wanting abundance and amazing life and money and freedom, but I felt guilty whenever I would receive it. It's not a coincidence. I had to heal my inner child first, or heal that narrative first, in order to receive second. Thirdly, this is the third one, another thing I noticed is that there was an element of I'm all that. Like, there was a story that I developed from being a child of, like, you don't want people to think you're all that, and about sort of like stunting and being seen a certain way and being seen as too big for your boots, or thinking that you're all that. And something to note here is that your parents' worries become yours. Your caregivers' worries, the people you're around a lot as a child, they become yours. You inherit them, and they're not even yours. And I noticed this, that there was a goal that I've had for a long time of, I want to feel good in myself. Like, I want to feel sleek, sexy, classy. Like, I want to dress like a classy, elegant woman, a wealthy woman, a trendy woman. But I want to dress nice and sleek, and that embodiment of, like, elegance. And I wanted this for years and years and years. But if you follow me a while, you'll know I always, after, like, 2020 was my, like, probably before that, probably 2019, 2018, I was full-time as a personal trainer. That was my excuse to, like, blend in, and I just wore black lycra every day. And it was so comfortable for me. And then when, like, I came to Trinidad, it was hard at first to shift out. Like, you cannot wear black lycra here if you don't want to be boiling. So I wanted to feel that way. But what I found was that I hated when people looked at me. And if people would look at me, I'd start panicking. And again, I inherited this from my dad. Do I look too scruffy? Or is there something on me? Or are people thinking I think I'm all that? Or that, like, what is it? And it would just be horrible. It'd be the fear of what are people thinking. So I would unconsciously block myself. And it didn't matter what it looked like in the mirror. I would do the shopping. I would buy nice things. And then I would wear the outfit, put it on in front of the mirror, and then start doing, if you've experienced this, you'll know, like, start doing, oh, I don't think it looks right, I think it's too long, I think it's this, I think I look young, I think I look too short, I think it doesn't flatter my figure, I think it doesn't go, I think my hair doesn't go with this, blah blah blah, and make up all these reasons why I can't wear the clothes I want to wear. And I've bought it, I've paid money, I've spent time curating clothes that, to me, for like, in this I will feel the embodiment of what I want to be, and then I'll find myself saying, oh no, I can't wear this. And why? Because it's that narrative, that voice in my head of being a child and my dad worrying what people think, or they'll think you're overdressed, they'll think you're showing off, don't wear that. And he'd say it to himself, and I'd notice the words he would use to himself, and also, you know, he would project them out because it's what he was feeling. And so I'm saying I want to dress like this, I want to feel bougie, I want to feel sleek, I want to feel nice. But then I'm buying clothes and never wearing them. Because this is the unconscious mind blocking you. Consciously, I want to look beautiful and sexy and sleek. But unconsciously, I don't, because I think that looking that way would make people judge me and think that I think I'm all that. And that's not safe, right? So again, we see how these narratives work, and these things in the unconscious mind show up, and we say we want something and we believe we want this goal. But in our unconscious mind, there are these wounds from our inner child and from childhood where we perceive what we want deep down as having a pain attached to it. Judgment, shame, guilt, maybe even being unsafe. I know that a lot of that with my dad comes from that feeling of being unsafe. With race stuff, it was like, you know, standing out too much or looking too good. Like, people will think that I don't know my place, and that triggers someone who's got racist issues going on, right? So, my purpose in this is to say that we need to heal these identities. Celeste says, I still wear black clothing regardless of the hot sun. Honestly, that was me, like, before I moved here. Right up until I moved here, it was black lycra or a black crop top. And it was always, like, a crop top and leggings, because that's what I felt comfortable in. And it wasn't what I wanted to wear. It wasn't, like, one, it was the weather, but two, it wasn't what I wanted to, how I wanted to feel, like, my road girl side. Like, I like my road girl side, but it was time, like, it's had its time. But ask yourself, Celeste, like, what are these things keeping you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? These are powerful questions to ask yourself. Why am I wearing this? What would I like to wear instead? And then if I imagine myself wearing that instead, and I just visualize it for a second, what comes up? Is it, oh, people might judge me? Is it even that I might get hit on? Like, I used to be scared of that, so wouldn't wear skirts and dresses and things. But it was this feeling of not being safe inside. And although, yes, there are things that there are other people in the world, and we can't always control what other people do, we can control how our experience goes, because it all comes from our perception, our mindset, our vibration determines how we'll experience it. And it's like, for example, now, if I walk somewhere wearing something and people look, I often think I probably don't, maybe they still do, but I don't notice, because I'm not feeling that hyper aware, hyper vigilant, looking around to see if anyone's watching me or judging me. So we need to heal these identities, these perceptions of the world, the way we see the world. We need to heal those things. Like, for example, I used to think that fancy places and things, they're not good. Why? Because I felt guilty to be in those places, because I felt that it was something shameful, because I'm taking away from someone else or something. Now I know that the wealthier I've got, the more generous I am. When I was struggling to pay all my bills, my phone bill, I can tell you this, I wasn't giving money away because I couldn't even look after myself. Now that I've improved my financial situation, I'm more generous than I've ever been in my life. So it's not true that to receive is bad. To receive, if you're in the right energy, if you're someone who's doing the work and healing in true abundance, to receive makes you want to give to other people. It makes you want to spread that abundance to the rest of the world and to share it with other people. So we need to heal these identities, we need to heal these perceptions of the world, of what we see as good and what we see as bad, and we need to heal the narratives and the stories. And the narrative that I had was that I'm an inconvenience, I'm a burden, my presence could be troubling people. And until I healed that, I wouldn't be able to be somewhere like this and feel comfortable. So yes, your inner child has a huge impact on the manifestation process. And we think it's all about forward thinking, but it's truly, manifestation is about also looking back and looking at what has made us the person we are today, because we may still be carrying that paradigm. Paradigm of our inner child, and we'll always create a life in line with our paradigm. It's like designing a software, and then the results of the software will always be our life. The paradigm is the software, and it's in your unconscious mind. So this is what we do inside the Manifest Magic Academy. We work on healing your whole paradigm, recreating a new paradigm. We're doing the deep inner child work, we're doing the nervous system regulation so your body feels safe too. We're working with human design to manifest with so much more ease, because you're aligning to your natural way and your natural gifts. We're doing all of this inside the Manifest Magic Academy, which is in pre-sale for one more day. It closes tomorrow. And that means that you'll get access straight away to the pre-work, you can get started, and you're saving £222, which is wild. So you can join for just £148 a month up until tomorrow evening when this will end. It's my 6-month program. The girls inside it right now, they've manifested all kinds of magic, and they're not even finished yet. They're the January cohort. Manifested a pregnancy, dream job, getting an interview and the dream job within the same hour. Brand new laptop, was breaking. Manifested a brand new MacBook paid entirely by work after having the same one for 8 years. All kinds of magic. And we start in July. Your pre-work is open right now, and as soon as you join, you can get started straight away. This is to manifest the big juicy moments in life. This is not about manifesting a coffee. I'm not going to tell you to sit here and visualize. This is changing who you're being, recreating your paradigm, like you're playing The Sims, except it's freaking real. Like, you're designing what you want to happen in your life, And that is how life feels for me now. I say I want something and then I'm thinking about it, I'm doing any more shifts in embodiment, and then it happens. It's crazy. And also becoming the version of you, the higher self identity that your teenage self would super fangirl over, because it's the identity that creates the reality. So if you feel the pull for that, DM me the words manifest magic and I will send you the link to check it out. But remember that the pre-sale does end tomorrow, so that discount will expire by the end of tomorrow and it will go to full price. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this helped and I hope this shines some light on maybe some of your blind spots and some of the ways that your inner child might be showing up that you had not noticed. And it could be pointing you to things that need to be healed in order for you to have the thing you say you want, and in order to be in alignment with what you want and what your unconscious mind associates it with. All right, guys, I'm going to share this so you can catch up if you missed the beginning, and I will see you next time.
So I hope you loved this episode. Thank you for listening and spending your time with me. And I really hope that it is empowering you and has empowered you to go for those goals and to know that you are so capable of manifesting all that you desire and all of that soulful success in your life, in your business, in your relationships, in any aspect that you desire it in. And if you did enjoy this episode, if you did find it helpful, if you did have some light bulb moments, please take a screenshot, post it to your Instagram stories and tag me at Leela Jasmine Sule. I would love to hear what you took away from the episode. I would love to hear how it helped you, but also it would be amazing if you could share the message and pass this on to more Grow Girls who would benefit from this. And if you share it on your Instagram stories, then of course all the Grow Girls in your community will also be able to listen and enjoy the goodness as well. Until next time, Grow Girls, goodbye.